Informal discussions with Ajahn Suchin in Bangsai, Thailand. August 2022. Recorded and edited by Jonathan and Sarah. Speakers include Hang, Sarah, John, Vincent, Sundra, Eve, Sukin, Cindy, Anne, Jagrit, Dream, Tin, Shanti, Harchi, Gang, Maeve, and Dave.
Samutaya, Nikaya. Yes. About the viper. In the suttas, they mention some point. The first point is the four viper. The Buddha said about the Mahabhuta Rupa as the four viper. It's still unclear for me. So, Thanachan.
Do you have any bodily pain for it, really?
Sometimes, yes.
How it happened without the snake and the viper?
Sorry, I cannot hear you clearly.
Whenever you have the bodily painful feeling,
I see.
Where's the snake or the viper?
Yes, it's terrible when it's painful.
And what condition that feeling?
It's akusala vipaka.
And just only akusala vipaka? We have vipaka now.
Yes.
Is it the snake?
When there is pleasant feeling, I don't...
Usually it's dukkha.
Dukkha.
But when Buddha pointed out about the snake or the viper,
yes.
It just bites any time.
Even the... When
the body?
Yes.
But the other arises and falls will never stop all the time.
Yes.
Just breaking moment. You like something breaking?
No.
And that is now.
Yes.
Mm. So when just talk about the body, what can compare is the snake or the viper? But even seeing right now, is it pleasant, arising and falling all the time?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
No.
But no, yes, normally we don't understand, but when Ajahn reminds us about this, so it means that it's dangerous.
Why not?
Yes, because it arises.
When there's no understanding, it is object of attachment.
Yeah.
But at moment of realizing the absolute truth, it's there only in a split second, and then following, never to return.
Yeah.
Just keep on, moment to moment, in samsara, endlessly.
Yeah.
And only right understanding of that very degree to let go the attachment to the way it is, just arise and falls away. But that, as long as it doesn't appear yet, no one can see it's so dangerous now.
Yeah, not really, we don't think it's dangerous.
That's why understanding the words, not only the snake, the viper.
So why does the Buddha mention only
is it
the Mahabhuta Rupa? It's
the true bodily, the same as the other sensor.
Because we attach much to the body, right?
We can talk about everything, or one by one, or just two by two, or whatever, by way of different aspects. No one can see the danger of seeing right now, rising and falling away. But at moment of having painful feeling, one can see how painful feeling is there, so very painful.
Yes, but painful feeling, I thought it's a vedana, it's a nama, but we don't think much about the Mahabhuta Rupa.
Just keep on thinking about the word, the snake, the feeling, the bodily, but what about, what is there now? No one, no snake, only different realities, absolute realities. Many people would like to understand what Buddha said about comparison like that, but in truth, he just wanted everyone to understand what is there now as it is, which is not easy at all.
Yeah.
That's why it develops little by little. As long as it does not appear as it is, there cannot be the understanding of the dangerous moment right now. Right now, dangerous moment. Not there, but it seems like it's there all the time. What is there a moment ago is not now. Mm-hmm. And what did you claim? to previous moment, past moment, and also now too. Because what we take for past is the present thought about what is there. That's why it's not easy at all to understand the way it is. As not self, nothing at all, only different realities appearing at a time. Not knowing many moments, many kinds of realities gone. We just talk about the word, talk about the snake and so on.
So the next is mentioned only to the Mahabhuta Rupa, inside the body or outside, I mean the visible object or sound.
Again. It includes everything. Otherwise it has to be more. What about breath, what about this and what about that? But all dhammas arise by conditions and then gone instantly. So studying Dhamma is studying the truth of this moment.
Doesn't the sutta say something about the poisonous vipers?
Yes, I just read, because the sutta is quite long, and I just read the explanation from the Buddha. The four vipers of the fierce.
At the beginning of the sutta.
The beginning, right? Yes. The bhikkhus, suppose there were four vipers of fierce hate and deadly venom. Then a man would come along wanting to live, not wanting to die, desiring happiness and averse to suffering. They would tell him, good man, these four vipers are of fierce heat and deadly venom. From time to time they must be lifted up, from time to time they must be bathed, from time to time they must be fed, from time to time they must be led to the rest. But if one or another of these vipers ever become angry with you, then good man, you will meet death, deadly suffering. Do whatever has to be done, good man.
Right.
Yes.
So
it explains that the four vipers, they need to be fed and rested and kept at the right temperature and so on. And if they're not, they will bite. So this is why the four Mahabhutas are like fierce vipers, because they're okay when it's looked after, but when it's, as Ajahn says, painful bodily feeling or whatever, in terms of the body, when not cared for, then it's a problem. Yeah, disease. And
the Buddha said, do whatever has to be done. Do whatever has to be done. So what does it mean, do whatever?
To do again.
Yes. Now, yes.
What about the understanding of what is there now? And then there can be the understanding of those words.
What has to be done now? Understanding has to develop now. It has to understand what appears now. And the other day we talked about how any kanda is dangerous because it's the object of clinging. So no matter it's rupa, or as it goes on to speak about the various khandhas, each one is dangerous and poisonous because it falls away immediately, but it's the object of clinging. So it doesn't matter what examples we give, because whatever is conditioned to arise and fall away is dangerous and bites when it's not taken care of.
I think do what has to be done means do whatever you can, because when you know that the body is so susceptible to be problematic, then you do what you can. In the sutra, of course, he runs away, but you can't escape the body. There's no escape, so that's the problem.
And as you can is the understanding of conditions. Otherwise, it's you again.
So sometimes when you have a painful feeling or problem with my health,
And what about now?
Now, see? Yes.
That's why the understanding of the purpose of listening carefully, just to understand what is there now, no matter by way of fibers or whatever, instead of thinking about that, what about Buddha thought about whatever is there as what he said about the snake of fibers. Like and just only body. Anything arising and falling away.
And Hung, what I understood for that do what has to be done, my understanding, I appreciate what Atamajan has said, because self is always getting in the way. But do what has to be done for safety's sake. If one is seeking safety, then one will do what the wise thing to do is.
And it has to be now, because it can't be any other time. Yes, so it's just the development of Panya now by conditions.
So now, seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, thinking about other things. That's why wise considering about each word of the Buddha. It's all about what is there now. Because there is ignorance, attachment there. And if there's no understanding of the truth, it is there as object of ignorance and attachment, and on and on.
So
Satan,
don't think about the
very, very slowly. Understanding the truth so firmly, with firm confidence, nothing as true and real at this moment.
So in this
moment is unknown. How can there be the letting go of ignorance? Changes all the time from one doorway to another doorway right now, exactly. That's why as one understands the nature of reality, no desire to have this and that to change the way of life, but beginning to study the words of the truth carefully, it's quite far away. The more understanding is so far away, because one begins to understand how deep it is.
So understanding what is
meant by parami, see? The most important thing is parami, not anyone at all.
And if
understanding, there cannot be any parami. So understanding works all the way, all the time, to have more and more parami, to condition the moment of realization, the truth. Otherwise, it's I all the time. Now I hear unknowingly, that's why it's there, it's heard. And this is the confidence of letting go attachment and ignorance.
The next is the Buddha mentioned about the five khanda as the five murderous enemy. Yes. So this one, Tanachan explained this for many times already. So it's understandable. But the sixth murderer, the intimate companion with the drawn sword, this is the destination for delight and lust. This is, I'm not unclear.
When there's the understanding about the truth, no doubt, no matter what doorway.
The intimate enemy, the lobha now,
yes.
the, like we said, the other one, the very, the dear enemy, the one that is so close, following all the time to experiencing whatever object is experienced. This is the the loba, the intimate enemy.
Including the tanha, you mean?
Tanha, it's tanha. The same. Loba and tanha, yes. Is exactly the same.
Pang, the enemy disguised as a friend. The enemy disguised as a friend.
Yes. That's why it's the dear enemy, dear because enemy. It seems like it's a friend, but it's the enemy.
And the next is the empty village. Empty village is the destination for the six internal sense base. It mentioned about the ayatana.
The ayatanas, eye sense, ear sense, nose sense, body sense, and the citta too. These are the inner ayatanas, like the empty villages. Eye sense on its own isn't a problem, but when visible object impinges it's, on it.
It's a problem. It's an attention on it.
They're seeing, and then there's attachment. Normally, what is seen.
But when it becomes an empty village?
Actually, it can never be on its own because there can never be eye sense without visible object impinging. But if it's just eye sense which arises and falls away and nothing impinges on it, then it's not like, I think it goes on to talk about after the empty villages, like the thieves or the robbers, is it? Mm. Yes, these are the, when the visible objects, the sounds impinge on the sense spaces.
Because it's the seeing, see the visible objects, the hearing, hear the sounds for almost a time. So I'm considering when it's become an empty village, no.
They cannot be together.
Yes, cannot be together.
Empty?
At the moment, I think they know.
No, it's gone. No more.
So, as soon as visible object impinges, it's not empty because it is the place, the inner ayatana, which the visible object, the outer ayatana, associates with.
And is any ayatana permanent?
No. What's that then? One moment only.
And if we don't use the word ayatana,
the word
is not permanent either. See? Always. The other one, next one.
So now the eye sense arises and falls away. But if no visible object impinges, then nothing is experienced through the eye sense. No robbers, no thieves, no trouble.
It's empty village. You can understand as the empty village. Oh, just a word to think about.
It's just to indicate that the trouble comes because of the impinging of the object on the eye sense, which is experienced. If there is no experience of anything through that empty village, then no attachment to what is experienced. So it's now.
I got it. So the simile for the tabloid is attachment.
If that is the understanding of one word of reality, can there be doubt about another thing? For example, arising, whatever is conditioned, arises and enforces, applies everything. No matter the vernum, the eye, the ear, whatever is there just a moment ago, it's there in life, and appearing and disappearing. So it's not just today, any time, any reality.
Yes, the dacoits are the visible objects, the sounds that attack in the simile, the eye sense and the ear sense. So it's like the empty village is being attacked by the robbers from outside, from all directions, the visible object, the sounds unexpectedly, and seeing sees what is experienced and is clinging instantly. So the external ayatanas, the visible object, the sound, they're like robbers coming and attacking, conditioning, clinging to arise to what has been experienced.
And ultimately, rebirth and continuing the cycle of samsara, rebirth and death over and over. But very interesting.
In Tang, when we think of robbers, we usually think of ignorant and foolish people. And that's usually what there is. When there's no understanding, there is ignorance and foolishness. So those bandits are just an analogy for foolishness and ignorance.
And without those dangerous Mahabhuta rupas that were mentioned, there couldn't be any visible object or sound. Yes. Because would you like to bring up the other topic that we discussed in the Vietnamese discussion? I'll just mention one word, because sometimes when we talk about, I'll ask one question of my own which relates to it. When we talk about the development of sati, and we say many times it's only indriya, satindriya, at moments of satipatthana. But in this connection, it's talking about sati and virya and so on as indriyas in the development of samatha, when no development of satipatthana. So I think we can talk about indriyas in the connection of satipatthana, but also in the connection of samatha.
We would like to understand the meaning of the word like indriya, or understand that what moment is indriya. For example, now there is sati or no sati. At moment of understanding what we are talking about, the truth,
there is sati,
but not directly. So it's not satipatthana. This is the development of vipassana.
Yes.
And the other moment, at moment of understanding, that at that moment it's akusya nivarana, and then sati is the understanding, with right understanding at level of that. What would you like to give me, whether it is indriya or not indriya? It doesn't matter at all. But it has to be indriya of the satipatthana and the makkha when it understands that moment, even it is jhana, or what level of wholesomeness.
Carry on.
I don't remember. In Vietnamese discussion, we mentioned about the balancing of the five indriyas, like sada, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya. So could you explain furthermore about the balancing of the five wholesome chetasikas?
Not there. Can it be known?
No,
not. And we try to understand the word. But can it lead to understand this moment, whether there is satta with panya? See, try to balance.
Again. No, I mean that try to understand how it can balance.
But
together.
When there's not enough understanding, what does it mean? There can be satta to continue on, trying to understand it, trying with satta. But the panya, does it let go even such akusila virya? Try to do something. So it's not just try to understand the word, but when it's there, there can be the moment of understanding what is not equal. Too much satta without enough panya yet and so on. And when it's panya, just thinking about that, find out so hard to have panya at that degree. But what about letting go? We don't have to judge any moment, but understand that very moment, whether it lacks what. Whether not enough understanding, but try very much with viriya to understand it. Useless.
Yes. Understand that viriya can arise with akusala citta, but satta only arises with a wholesome.
Satta cannot be unwholesome.
Unwholesome, yes. So when, because it's in the book it said that satta should be balanced with wisdom, so that the confidence and critical
right understanding or only satta, less than understanding. Mm-hmm. That's why all of them are satindriya, and each one is indriya. Indriya, sati, samadhi, and panya. But as one tries so hard to understand it, that is attachment.
I agree with you.
John, when this question last came up, I had a look at the commentary of the Satipatthana Sutta, and it seemed to me that all the references there to balancing the faculties were in the context of development of samatha only, not for insight development.
Not try to judge, but understand immediately what left.
And also, I think we can assume that this is of interest to the person who has developed these qualities to a high level already, so that they are maybe balas or something, because only when they have been developed to that level can there be any possibility of having them arise in preference, having one kind arise in preference to another kind. For everyone else like us, there's no way of controlling what kind of gusala will arise. And there's no possibility of it there being out of balance either, for that matter, because they're not very well developed.
I think that they don't understand the reality as a reality. They understand the kusala as a high level panya. So how they can balancing? Yes. Sorry.
Just trying to understand the world.
Well, they can still understand the development of each quality. Two comments. One is that the person who is developing samatha is also developing insight. So it's not as though there's no understanding of realities, but there's not insight all the time, and there's samatha at other times. And that's the first point. So the second point is that in order for different kinds of gusala to be developed, it is not necessary to understand the characteristic of realities, because gusala can be developed apart from panya, of course, but gusala can be developed by the person who hasn't. But that's not the case here. The comment is being made, or the text applies to the follower of the Buddha who is also developing samatha.
And the example they give, you share on a DSG, they give example about when wisdom is more than satta, when panya is more than satta, unbalanced, then there is a cunning. Become in the unwholesome way cunning.
It's not to say the panya becomes cunning, but the person who is developing samatha, who is not yet enlightened, the unwholesome qualities are still there.
Yeah.
So the unwholesome qualities, that is the tendency to be cunning, is there. So what it's saying is that there are conditions for that particular unwholesome quality to exert its effect. They're not saying that the wisdom becomes cunning. They're saying that there are conditions for the tendency to be cunning arise.
Then that could happen to any situation, not necessarily panya more than satta.
Well, I don't think it's saying that it's only in that situation that cunning arises. It is explaining, and I'd accept it at face value, that if a person has the tendency to cunning and they are developing samatha, then it's possible that for whatever reason, because samatha requires quite special conditions for its development at high levels, it is being said that the tendency to cunning can exert itself if whatever it is, the panya, the ratio of the panya to sadha is such and such.
When I heard Vince talking about cunning, what I took him to be meaning or potentially alluding to was the fact that there can be a tendency towards self-deception in that sense of self-deception, that it's actually a kusala, and that is to be wary of, rather than it being, cunning can be taken in different ways, but in English, it used to be something that was actually quite skillful. But in this sense, I believe it's referring to something that's obviously unskillful. And it's a reminder, this is what I heard, that, to be aware that tendency, which can be, I no doubt, I can imagine at times very subtle, but it is a kusala.
There's one other comment in the book, which I think is not quite right, or we have to consider carefully. It says, from the foregoing examples, we see that samatha cannot be cultivated without a basic understanding and careful consideration of the realities taught in the Abhidhamma, which are in fact the realities of daily life. But as we know, those who had never heard the Buddha's teachings and who attained the highest jhanas did not have a basic understanding and careful consideration of the realities that we read about in the Abhidhamma and the realities in daily life. Yes, they had to know the difference, the distinction between kusala and akusala, but not as dhammas, not as anatta. That was one point.
If it's correct that it only applies in the context of samatha, then for the person developing insight, it's not something to be considered at all. It doesn't apply to the person developing insight. And that's consistent with how we understand that understanding of realities also has the effect of gradually eradicating the unwholesome tendencies at the same time. Unlike the qualities being developed in samatha, they don't eradicate anything.
When there is the development of understanding in satipatthana or before satipatthana, then the nature of the awareness and understanding, it balances naturally. No need to think about it at all. Jan, I have a small point I just want to check, because it's something that I wrote from one of the discussions. We were talking about kayanupassana and kayagati sati, and kayanupassana refers to the understanding and awareness of any rupa that is commonly taken for the body, like the hardness here that is taken for the body. And we discuss the meaning of kaya, that it has to refer to a collection that can be namakaya or rupa kaya. So the collection of rupas that together is taken for the body, and kayanupassana refers to the development of awareness with understanding of rupas naturally. When we talk about kayagati sati, like in the Kayagati Sati Sutta, I think it's referring to the development of samatha as well as the development of satipatthana, because it refers to the attainments developed through samatha as well as the attainments developed through satipatthana. Is this correct?
So what is meant by samatha?
Calm, yes.
Kusala moment.
Kusala moment.
It's calm.
That's it. With any kind of kusala. Yes. And when it develops with sati and panya in kayanupassana, then it is referring to the calm develops with understanding. And when it refers to kayagati sati, it can be referring to the development of calm in samatha, or development of calm in the development of satipatthana.
Depending on panya.
Depending on the kind of panya and the
right understanding.
Yes. Good. Thank you.
this indication, we better talk about just one word at a time. Otherwise, they are mixed up. That's why no matter what about the Pitaka or commentary, just take one word to consider so that there can be clearer understanding of that word. Otherwise, it's one's own understanding that, oh, I understand that phrase with many words. But in fact, if there is more understanding of just one reality by different words, there can be the understanding of panya at that level of it is this or that. For example, when we talk about just the story about that before this, if it comes to one word at a time, it's clear. Is it clear now? One word.
I'd like to ask you about the Pidana
connection. Why not the previous, the last word, or the other words before this? Because you just want to have understanding of Vedana. Forget about those words. We have more understanding. Just go ahead and keep going on.
Mm-hmm. So I'm going to read the book from the bhikkhu who teach the Paramapadama, Abhidhamma. So he quotes it from Vibhanga, and he said about the Vedana. The first quote is in the Akusala Citta.
The Buddha taught Vedana Pachaya Tanha.
Okay.
Yes. The second quote is for the Kusala Citta. The Buddha taught about the Vedana Pachaya Sada. So,
what word should we talk about? Just yes. One word at a time.
Yes.
And go on a little bit.
Yes. So, why the Vedana Pachaya Sada?
It can condition any reality, not only these two, or just only these two.
So, it means that in the whole Samchitta, Kusala Chitta, the Vedana, condition sada as a sajata pachaya. So is the meaning of this?
Can it condition other reality too?
Yes, so, including sada. Mm-hmm. But why sada is mentioned here?
Because you can mention the other word too, not only sada.
I see.
Yes. So any other chitta seeker?
Yes.
So he said that in the pancha, seeing, hearing is the pancha. Seeing, hearing, touching.
I think that can be the understanding of reality. If we just cling to this word and then that word and think that there is the understanding of such and such reality.
Mm-hmm.
But when there is the understanding of our reality, no doubt about the understanding of other world, which is the same, like rupa is rupa, but different by characteristic, which is not that can be known. Otherwise, one forgets as soon as one heard and thought that one understands. So all these words can be understood when it's there with understanding. No doubt about those words. But when there's no understanding of such degree, it's impossible to understand what is there as it says. Just the first thing that you mentioned in the beginning, what is that?
It's the Vedana Pachaya Tanha.
No, this is not the first one. The topic.
Vipers.
The viper, you mean Mahabhuta Rupa.
I think that just after that.
The Upadana Khandhas.
It's a five enemy, right? Five enemy is a five khanda.
Ayatana.
Ayatana. It's an empty village.
The empty village, yes. And these robbers.
Clear.
Don't say yes if it's not.
Is the meaning of what only?
Because it's not there. But when it's there, so clear about those words that we have heard long time ago or have read about it even long time ago, because it's not yet time to understand it. That's why no matter how much we talk about it, it's not there as we talk about it. But when there is the understanding of that very moment as it is, understanding what is said that we have heard about it.
But now we just can understand the word only.
Because you see that as the Abhidhamma, what is Abhidhamma? The person who hasn't heard about Abhidhamma, there are Abhidhamma realities, no understanding by word. But when there is more, a little more understanding of this moment, no matter we say, see it is now. It develops little by little to understand the reality which experiences an object, not only seeing. And when we use the term hearing, when there's understanding of this moment, as it's not the sound, but it hears the sound, it experiences the sound, there will be a little more understanding of what is meant by ayatana.
At the moment, the whole reality meet together.
The book meets together.
At one moment only.
So, what is not ayatana?
They not arise at that moment. You mean?
Then so, each moment there must be some reality arise.
Yes.
So, what is not ayatana?
It's not, that it's not appear there, not there.
But we have talked about ayatana, it seems like it's clear. Even now, ayatana is there. No one knows. There can be only seeing, hearing, known as seeing, hearing by word, but not by its nature. How many moments of nama are the same in the day?
Uncountable.
All the time?
All the time, yes.
Ajatana?
Ajatana.
You use the term manayatana?
Yes, manayatana.
But at what time, see? If we talk about it so clear, there is doubt about ayatana. Even we heard that it's there, it's there, it's there. But what is it? Which is not ayatana. When it's there, it is. So now no doubt about ayatana. Not only one reality, but there must be other realities together arising. But they have different characteristics, different nature. So, pascha, is it ayatana?
Yes, because it's there.
How many times?
Uncountable. Every moment. Every moment, yes.
See, no doubt about ayatana. But there's no clear understanding of each ayatana. For example, seeing right now, and pasayatana, sanyayatana. That's why even they are ayatana, but it has to be understood one by one. For example, at this moment, there must be sanyayatana, but it does not appear. That's why there has to be doubt about it. And when it will appear,
to the highly developed understanding.
Anything can appear by conditions.
Yes.
Because even we say, seeing is ayatana, manayatana, and pasaya is pasayatana, and other reality that ayatana, ayatana. But as it is not known at all, it's the object of ignorance. That's why it goes on gradually about understanding what is there by conditions, no expectation, whether it can be conditioned by previous accumulation and on, we don't know, because there must be conditions, not just in a moment, any moment, many conditions too. And that is the understanding of the subtlety of what Buddha taught, of Buddha experienced. So he said after his enlightenment, all dhammas are so subtle. That's why we cannot just read and imagine and think about like we understand them. But that is only intellectual understanding. To be confident of the truth. Now, whatever is there arises and falls away, never come back, never to return at all. And if this is not directly experienced, it's only learning. Nama and rupa is not permanent. It's now arises and falls away. And think about the saddha and panya, whether it's balanced or not yet.
Talking about Vedana, at the end of the other discussion we had, you were going to continue with the feeling, the feelings, and we were chatting about sensations, and also on some time you mentioned about body awareness. So I think it's good to talk about all these topics to clarify. Do you want to start off with what you were referring to, Jinsen?
Maybe before we start, we'll be clear about what the sensation means.
Because that was originally Eve's question. So what do you think about sensation, and what does sensation mean to you?
Sensation can be the the experience of hardness. For example, the experience of temperature, the experiencing of pressure.
So what reality would that be if we talk about sensation?
Pardon me?
When you mentioned about sensation, it's the experience of maybe temperature.
Experiencing,
and
yes.
Experiencing, but what experience?
Reality.
Yeah.
That is citta and chetasika.
Nama. At the moment, at the moment of touching, right?
Yes.
Is any specific reality that's for sensation?
It is nama, which experience.
So to you, sensation means all the nama at the moment?
Whatever is experiencing what is to be experienced in the moment.
Right. So sensation is now. Is not that which is experienced, or
sensation is the vedana, the feeling.
All right. At the moment of touching, right?
Yes. Hardness. For example.
Touching hardness, right? But yeah, but sensation is the vedana at the moment of touching.
Is, yes, it's experienced citta through the body sense.
We know that it's body consciousness that experiences hardness via the body sense, just like it's eye consciousness that experiences visible object through the eye base. So what the definition you just gave of sensation, when you said it's the jitter and jetasikas that experience hardness, is the definition of body consciousness.
Because I make that distinction to clarify that citta is the chief of experience, and the physical body itself is rupa, and rupa does not experience anything. It is, as you put it again, body, the consciousness. Feel, yes.
My point is, if we're talking about the consciousness that experiences hardness or softness or temperature through the body sense, then we are talking about body consciousness. So why do we introduce the term sensation instead of talking about body consciousness and its object?
All right. Body consciousness in Pali would be kaya vijnana. So I'll use that instead.
So why do you think of kaya vijnana as sensation?
Poverty of English language. Just needed to refresh my mind. Please excuse me. It's only been 2 hours sleep. A little.
Okay.
Yeah.
The problem is that sensations is a term used in certain presentations of practice. So it has a meaning for certain people in terms of some kind of practice, but it doesn't have an equivalent in terms of the teachings as we understand them in the suttas and the Abhidhamma. It's either body consciousness, or we can refer to the feeling that's associated with that citta, and we can refer to the object.
Because often people talk about experiencing sensations, and then when you ask them what it is, they say they are Vedana, but it's being mixed up. The rupas are being mixed up with the namas, and there is the idea of experiencing Vedana or experiencing sensations through the body, for example. So it gets very mixed up and confusing if we're not clear that it is just the moment of bodily experience, the kaya vijnana, which experiences the tangible object accompanied by the Vedana, and the Vedana, the feeling, is not a sensation. It's just pleasant feeling, unpleasant feeling, or neutral feeling. That's all. It's not anything to do with what we consider conventionally to be sensation as such.
Kaya vijnana is kusala or akusala, not neutral.
It's vipaka.
Yes.
It's vipaka, and it has to be either. It experiences the object either with pleasant feeling when it's a pleasant, tangible object such as softness, or it's unpleasant bodily feeling, which if it's extreme is painful bodily feeling, but not neutral feeling. So it's vipaka. It's the result of karma. It's not itself kusala or akusala. It's just the result of kusala or akusala karma. Condition to arise and experience the tangible object with pleasant or unpleasant feeling.
For example, if there's a vibration similar to a palpitation or something, what reality would be involved there?
A vibration would be experienced through kaya vijnana, the second.
Experience of?
Kaya vijnana. Experiencing, how can I put movement?
Motion or pressure, yeah, and yeah, maybe hardness also, yes. Just the same realities, whatever is the sensation in the sense that term may be used conventionally, is still just the same realities of body consciousness and the three possible objects of body consciousness.
Yes, kaya vijnana is much more accurate than sensation. Conventional words aren't satisfactory, and I can see that I get that people will embellish sensation with various meanings, and that's not what I was meaning or intending to say.
When most people hear the term sensation, they would think of the object rather than the consciousness that experiences. So it's also confusing in that regard.
Yes, and that was what I was trying to delineate
rupa as distinct from kaya vijnana, which experiences temperature, pressure, and so on, and the body itself, let's say just body, physical body as rupa, but it is kaya vijnana that experiences. So just to make that distinct, the rupa.
So we were talking about the moment touching, right? And nama. So usually also many people, they take sensation as bodily feeling. And that's why when I say bodily feeling, some people confuse it's rupa or nama. So the question Sarah and I, we were talking about is, last time Sarah was asking you, can you feel sensation? Can you feel the sensation? Then if the sensation, if we are talking about the vipaka at the moment of touching the feeling vedana, then at that moment, of course, feeling is feeling the one of the rupa, not a sensation. But during the day, when we eat something very, when we are hungry, we also feel the, we feel the feeling that is vipaka, right? When we are hungry.
It depends, doesn't it? Because there can be all sorts of things apart from the object of body consciousness.
Just explain a bit more what you mean by when we're hungry, feeling the feeling.
Okay. So the hunger, that's akusala vipaka.
By name.
By name, yeah. But it's a strong feeling, right? It's become more and more unpleasant when we are more hungry, right? So, but how come we can feel hungry? It's not a moment of touching. When we feel hungry, that's the, either one of the vipers, right? The earth element, the fire or the wind element, when that akusala vipaka mature. So when we feel hungry, that must be the object of the citta is the unpleasant feeling, which is the akusala vipaka, the vedana. That's what I meant. When we feel hungry, that means the kaya vijnana experience, the akusala vipaka at that moment.
What's the object?
The object is one of the four rupas.
So there has to be earth. Contact, the hardness has to have impinged
right.
On the body sense.
Right.
So the term touching depends whether you mean it in the conventional sense or not.
It means the kaya vijnana at the moment, kaya vijnana experience one of the three rupas.
Right. So there's a contact. The rupa has impinged on the body sense.
Right.
So that's a touching.
That's the touching. But when we say feel hungry, that's after that touching.
It's the unpleasant, the painful bodily feeling that arises together with the kaya vijnana.
Right,
the
but touching. At that moment, feeling is not an object. When we feel hungry, it's the unpleasant feeling.
But is the painful feeling a nama or a rupa?
Nama.
Nama. So it arises together with the body consciousness that experiences the same tangible object as the body consciousness.
At that moment, the object, the aramana, is one of the three rupas, right?
Yes.
Yeah, but the moment we feel hungry, the object is unpleasant feeling.
It's the same if there's touching there and it's hard and you feel pain. That's all hardness.
But it's different moment, right? When you feel pain, when there is a painful feeling, the object is a pain.
You feel painful, but actually no you feels anything.
Right.
But the painful feeling, it arises together with the body consciousness that experiences that tangible object, the one that's too hard or too hot, for example.
That's the first error, right? That's the first error.
Yes.
Yeah.
But and that's the painful error, bodily the painful, feeling.
The akusala vipaka. But after that, there is a feeling hungry with aversion, right? And at that time, the object is the unpleasant feeling.
The aversion to the painful feeling is a different moment.
Different moment. That's a second error, right?
Right. So the first arrow is the painful feeling, and the second arrow is the dosa towards it.
Right. But those are toward the unpleasant feeling.
I suppose, yes. Just the same as when it's hardness experienced outside the body, no different.
Right.
Feeling hungry is just another example of body consciousness experiencing hardness and maybe heat and pressure.
Okay. That's a good example. For example, there's a fire here. I close the fire. I can feel the temperature. But when I start to want to get away, that's when the moment feel pain, aversion toward the pain.
Feel the pain, but actually the painful feeling has arisen, and that's why there is thinking about moving your hand away.
Right, it's a desire to move away.
Because the painful feeling has arisen with the body consciousness countless times, so that conditions the moving of the hand.
I think we all understand each other. I think the point I want to say is when you ask Eve about can you feel the sensation, and I was thinking it can only be possible in mind-door process. That's what I meant when unpleasant feeling become the object in the mind-door process.
We don't call that feeling the feeling, though, do we?
So I think what you're talking about is the unpleasant feeling that accompanies the thinking when thinking about that painful feeling.
At the moment of thinking, Vedana is there to feel the object. And the object is unpleasant feeling. That's it. That's what I was.
Right. Just the object of the citta.
Just feel the feeling. It's possible. It's just like aware the sati. It's like aware the sati.
Aware the sati.
When the sati become the object of satipatthana.
I see. Right. Yes. When there's awareness of the reality of sati, then you talk about aware the sati.
It's like so feel the feeling. Yes.
What's the characteristic of sati?
Book word. Only word.
I pointed out the word.
At the moment of satipatthana, we're talking about sati and panya, right? Yeah. I'm not sure if the characteristic of sati actually appears. Ajahn may like to comment on that. I know that the character panya can appear.
We're talking about the reality. What about just one in order to understand clear, clear, whether it is feeling or whether it is other reality which is not feeling, but they arise together. That's why they cannot be known so clear what is what. For example, sensation. What is it? Is it now or not now? Is it only just one doing or any doing? So what is that sensation?
I think you have to ask Eve.
So, Chanajan, that's when the thinking was going, one door away at a time. So it's not possible to experience more than one reality at a time. And not, please excuse me, I don't know if this is it, but rather than experiencing Rupa Kaya Vijnana, in terms of kaya vijnana experiences characteristic of rupa. Okay, hardness, pressure.
Do you mean that at moment of experiencing an object, there are many realities together that we cannot tell what is sensation? Or there is only one reality, sensation?
Without a high degree of panya, illusion is many things that we see.
But when you talk about the nature of a reality, which we use that word, sensation, in truth, what is it? Just one characteristic, one reality.
Yes, one characteristic, one reality, one doorway at a time.
So what is sensation?
I say
one.
Pressure.
Okay. So, sensation here.
Hardness.
Sensation here.
Hardness.
At the moment of thinking, is there sensation?
No.
So you mean only the body dao?
I usually mean specifically the mind, or after the balangas, then it's the mano dvara arjuna, the mind, or and then the thinking concepts and stories.
So it's true mind, not at moment of touching. So at moment of touching, it's not sensation. Only when moment of mind follows. And that is that which we use the term sensation. But even so, what is only exactly one reality as we think that it is sensation? Or we just take the word sensation, like we use many words for whatever, table, see, sensation and table and flesh. Not just one reality. Right? That's why I think that if we don't use any word, the characteristic of that reality appears. No word at all. But there's no understanding of the truth of that as it's conditioned to arise just to be that characteristic and then falls away instantly. To learn about whatever is there, no matter what, it's not there forever. Just in a moment and then gone. And what is not known, that which is the reality, which experiences an object, no matter in what way, what aspect. And the other is that which cannot experience the object. That's why nama, rupa, paricheta, jnana is so clear, understanding of the distinction of the two. No matter it's what, no word, but it's there, that which experiences. And that which is the object. When there is the understanding of the object of seeing right now, there can be the understanding of the object of hearing, smelling, tasting, touching. Learn to understand what is there, that we have heard one reality at a time, when it's there. Because it seems like they are together. But in truth, only one characteristic appears. Even there are more than that. There, but only one characteristic appears. That's why we have to understand the truth of each one as what is this and what is this in truth, in a moment, in a characteristic only. Not two characteristics as we take, like hunger. What is that? No one knows hunger is, or everyone knows hunger is. But what is it? I'm hungry, as much as one knows. But what is hunger itself? And when it's there, no word to say it's hunger. The characteristic is there, appears as just that which experiences an object. Otherwise, I am hungry every time. That's why we learn about the reality. When we use any word, what is its characteristic as a reality? That's why there are citta and cetasikas and rupa and different words for the absolute realities. Not all together, and we cannot know what is it truly is, like sensation. What do we mean? Not only touching to the body door. What about the other doorway? See, in order to begin to understand more and more closer, precise understanding of what is sensation. Or we can say that there are many realities together, and the feeling, which is different from other moment, is there as sensation. Learn to understand the truth of now, whatever is there as it appears, which conformed with the words of the Buddha, because it's so true. Example now, sound, see, it's heard. We don't have to use any word at all, but begin to understand. Just sound, or is it the idea of the words sound? Get rid of that which is taken for it belongs this or that as word or cat. On human being. That's why we have to be truthful to the nature of reality as what is not known. Even everyone knows hunger. But what is the truth of it? Any time. Otherwise, it's I am hungry. So learn to understand hunger at the moment when it's there. The reality of that moment is there. Even we don't use the term vedana or sanya or whatever. It's this is a study of Dhamma, because now they are all Dhamma, it's not the word at all. For example, Kunhan, see, without eyes, ears, how can there be Kunhan? That is the decoration for the body in Tipitaka. The four Mahabuddha Rupas, conditioned by Kama, the Kama conditioned it. So it's there. But without eyes, ears, no sound, no decoration to be attached to. The eyes, black or blue or brown, the eyebrow and everything. So there can be more understanding of the truth. Even it said that the snakes like the decoration of the four primary rupas. Only this, just this, no decoration. So it needs some point, paint, this and that, and all and all. Even body, if it's just that, it's not object of attachment, just like that. But there are so many things conditioned by karma too. That's why we learn to let go the idea of self, which we take any time, I all the time. I'm hungry, I see. So when it's not I, what is it? Moment to moment, learning to understand what is there. Otherwise, it's not the studying of Dhamma, just the word. Try to find out all the time what ayatana is there and so on. You don't have to use the word ayatana. When there is the understanding of the nature of a reality, like seeing, there must be that which is there as the object. Rupa yatana, not just only vinya yatana. It's not in the book, but it's now. So after hearing the word about the truth, it can be known at moment when it's there. No matter we try to think about seeing, when there is no seeing, how can there be the understanding of that which arises, experienced only visible object, and we don't have to use the word visible object. Whatever is the object of seeing. So without this reality, which can be experienced by seeing, the world is in darkness.
The word sensation is a word from conventional language, so it doesn't mean much to me.
And the truth? Is there any truth or only conventional language? In order to understand that actually there's nothing at all on the that which is conditioned to arise, to appear. So very, very short. And then gone. Learn about whatever is there. So very short. Seeing is so short. Hearing is just so short. Everything is just like that. Not long enough to be taken for something permanent at all. Even just only 2 moments. Just begin to consider what we have talked about, that it's there now. Otherwise, it's always far away from this moment. I get the knife. Sensations.
Can there be body awareness, Vincent? Because you mentioned that term once. Body awareness.
I mentioned that
term. Yes, body awareness.
I think you mentioned it in an email to me, body awareness. Can there be body awareness?
I probably mistyped that word.
So no body awareness?
No, I don't know what that would be. I probably mistyped.
It could refer to awareness of the body, via the body senses.
What do you mean
that body is breathing? I mean, the body is under objects.
The body and the body sense.
No, I thought she might have meant awareness.
Do you remember the concept?
I think it was just, you may have been speaking conventionally, but you just referred to having body awareness or developing body awareness or something like that. I don't have the exact context. Because it's a common idea along with sensations, an idea of being aware of the body. But as we know, actually, there's no body. So there cannot be awareness of the body. Just thinking about the body.
That's why we have to understand from the very beginning, what is the body? So that there can be awareness of that, which is something for body.
So it's come from Atta Panyati. Some days ago, you mentioned about the Atta Panyati. It's come from Atta Panyati.
Atta
Panyati.
Atta. Atta Panyati. Because even we don't use any word, there can be the understanding of what is said by its shape and form. No word, but this is different.
Yes.
So that is Atta Panyati. It means known as something.
Like a newborn baby, right?
A newborn baby. Just look around, open the eye. Don't know any meaning of words yet. Right. Or someone born deaf and it's only Atta Panyati. Can we say that? Someone born deaf, right?
Because now all around Atta Panyati, the lotus, the borders.
I think from birth to death there is Atta Panyati. Because even no words, it's something there, even for the young baby or toddler, is something that is like something.
The world, see? But no word as Atta Panyati, but it is Atta Panyati. So we use the term to represent what we are talking about.
So on the other hand, someone born blind, so that person has Satta Panyati only, right? Satta Panyati.
Sound, smell, no word.
Oh, he can still, yeah, blind can still touch to get a shape, idea of form and shape, right?
Why would being blind mean no Atta Panyati?
Yes, there could be. I was just saying it could just touch his idea of shape and form.
Sound has shape and form too.
Okay.
But you're particularly referring to visible shape and form. Right. So a person who's blind doesn't have the same idea of shape and form, a sighted person, but they're still Atta Panyati.
When we talk about words, the meaning is right. Atta.
Atta, right.
And like the sound.
So that word Atta, it means meaning, right?
Well,
now I am at the page 270 of the survey of Paramattha Dhamma. The first one is A-T-T-H-A, yeah, Atta Panyati. That's something, right? Idea of something. And the second one is Satta. Satta Panyati, S-A-T-T-A. That's about right. Related to the sound.
Yes.
S-A-D-D-A. So it's sabda. It's different from, or in the book also say, or nama panyati, sata panyati, or nama panyati.
What connection was being made? Because the Jhana is also talking about something there, because it is
even without paramadhamma.
Can there be any panyati or artha? That's why there must be a paramadhamma. But that reality arises in false way in spirit seconds. So what is left has to be nimitta. So nimitta of that which is seen and heard, we call it nimitta. And when we talk about atta, we don't have to use any word. But when we talk about sattabandha, without word, we don't know what that person means. That's why it needs satta, sound, to be known of that. And then the other text about the other meaning too. For example, just a moment ago, sound is heard. Is it nimitta?
Yes.
So it is bandhati. And the word is attabandhati. Because one is getting used to that word as the bird or a dog barking and so on. And the satta bandhati, make it known with the word. In Vincenzi, we know who, not Kunjatam. Sattabanya.
The sound of the water.
Yeah, anything. Even we don't know the word for it, but we use the word, what is that? When it's that, it's something. Atta.
And that was the point. As soon as it's known or experienced, there is atta. That is the idea of something. So we're using both terms. Yes.
So many words in the Pitaka, that's why we learn just one meaning of one word at a time. For example, anatta, or sunyata. Sunyata, that which is not there anymore, never to return because it arises and falls in. And it is anatta. Whatever arises cannot be taken for anything permanent at all. And whatever arises falls away. So not only the word anatta, also sunyata too.
And well, that was the point. It's atta, it's sunyata, I mean instantly. But it's taken as atta, as something there, someone there. This is just a detailed point. In one of the discussions, one of the Chinese discussions, Vincent may remember. Actually, I think you were talking about the Dhamma Chakkappavattana Sutta, and there was a bit of a misunderstanding about light or something like that. But anyway, whilst there was the misunderstanding, there was a little bit of a discussion about chittaja rupas, such as hardness, such as when arising together with the vikara rupas. And you mentioned that the hardness is not as usual as when there is no chittaja rupa, but when it's accompanied by the vikara rupas, the lahuto, mudita and kamanyata, the hardness is different. Would you say a little more?
Is that chittaja rupa?
No, when touching the glass, see? No. But yes, when...
Even the touch is different.
Yes.
By the object.
Yes. So the nature of the hardness is different when conditioned by chittaja rupa and different when conditioned by karma and different when conditioned by temperature.
That's rupa. Mm-hmm. Only that which sits.
Only that which sits.
Is there any vikara rupa?
If there's no movement, no.
Different,
yes.
So in the cold weather, that blows, the finger gets frozen. That's not vikara rupa.
When there is no intention to move, because it's just chittaja rupa. Without the intention to move,
how can even body move? When there's intention to move, like move the leg, but it's a...
There can be vikara rupa conditioned by uttu, which is different from the vikara rupa conditioned by chitta.
Okay.
For example, when fast asleep, there can be some
movements of the body, vikara rupas, but not conditioned by citta, conditioned by temperature at those moments. Like now, there may be some movement of the hair by the breeze or the wind.
But this is about citta, right?
No.
This is my citta.
The moment is conditioned. Chanda is conditioned by citta, right?
If the hair blows in the wind, for example, then
of course.
No intention right.
Move the hand, that's
the hand. Yes, like yeah. Now, yes.
No citta, no vikara rupa, conditioned by citta, but there can be vikara rupa conditioned by utu.
Utu, right.
Right, and the point was that the hardness or other rupas that arise together with those vikara rupas conditioned by citta are different from when not conditioned by citta. That was the point that came up.
But touching the table or touching the skin is different feeling of hardness.
Hardness.
Also had something to do with jivi indriya, right?
What is different?
Rupa here and the rupa
person. Here and the rupa which touch.
Or the rupa of the person or a dead people. That is different because of jivi indriya.
Can the vikara rupa be known? At moment of touching?
No.
You're talking about hardness, right? You're saying that hardness when the skin is touched is different from the hardness.
Right. Or dead people or alive people, you know it's different.
So what is experienced?
Still the three rupas. I mean, through touching, three touching, only three of the rupa could be touched.
Yeah, only that.
Right.
It's known.
Not known to be anatta yet.
At moment of touching, hardness itself is known, right?
Yes. Yes.
The vikara, rupa, can it be known at moment of touching?
No. No.
I think your point is that it's just hardness here or here or here or here, but the hardness itself is different if it is the one conditioned by karma accompanied by Jivitindriya and other Kamaja Rupas at that moment, that's all. But it's still just hardness that's touched, yeah.
Right.
Because when you say the hardness here and the hardness here, they're bound to be different, whatever two, whether it's table and body or
table and the detail are different, right?
Yes.
Yes.
But if you want to say that there's some other difference between the hardness of the table and the hardness of the body, apart from the detail, is that helpful? The case? Well, it's just different by detail, as far as I know.
Right.
At moment of touching, can only hardness be experienced, or that which is different by dhamma, by citta is experienced?
It can be appeared.
Appear?
Still mind or?
Okay, yeah. Not touching.
No, not the different, right.
Not by touching.
Right.
So it's actually an assumption because it could be mistaken.
Right, sure, it could be mistaken, yeah. Isn't that your original question? Touching the vikara harness with vikara or not?
Not exactly. I was just commenting that the hardness itself conditioned by citta rupa is different from hardness that is not conditioned by citta rupa. So the hardness itself that arises conditioned by citta rupa rising together with the vikara rupas, that hardness is different from this hardness or this hardness. But at the moment of experiencing, it's just that particular hardness.
Touching the atom and touching the flame is that which is touched, different. One is separate, and the other is
has to be the same.
But what is experienced? Only that which can be experienced at moment of touching.
Right.
If it was the same, there wouldn't be any thinking about this one is an apple and this one is Hung's arm, for example. But because that hardness itself is different, conditioned in different ways, and one condition is the citta, which conditions it to arise. So when moving the arm, so each hardness is different, each visible object is different. That's why there is an idea of apple or cup or arm.
That's why the vipalasa is so deep.
And even the texture of that with apple or glass is different. But what can be known is only the characteristic, which is part of something. We don't mind whether it's different by condition, but what is touched, it's only that. Which is part of self. Different degrees, different combinations.
One point that I heard you mention not so long ago, you referred in a discussion to how citta is accumulated at every moment. Usually we just refer to the kusala and akusala that's accumulated at every moment. But I wondered whether one could refer to the fact that the anusya is being carried from moment to moment as being accumulated, but usually we only refer to kusala and akusala.
Well, more than 1 moment. Accumulated.
More than 1 moment accumulated, yes, perhaps that's what it's meant. So accumulated at every moment because it's more than 1 moment. Mm-hmm. From moment to moment.
Degree of attachment.
Right. From moment to moment, yes.
One is less and the other is stronger.
Right, okay. Usually I wouldn't say that's at every moment, no. I would just say that
moment of kusala and akusala.
Moment of kusala and akusala.
Understood.
Yes, 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 understood. Understood, but good to get it written clear, yes.
Just to condition a little bit of letting go. Of all kind of akusala.
So which of the nivaranas are the most serious now?
Stinkiness.
So as Ajahn said in reply to your question the other day, it depends what is there now. That was a good answer.
Yeah.
And we were talking about Tina and Nida the other day, how they just arise with weak cheetahs and just with dosamula cheetahs. So there can be sleepiness with pleasant feeling or unpleasant feeling, but it's only with the dosa that they are all.
Without hearing about Kinamita, when it's there, how can it be known? But no expectation to experience Kinamita. That is letting go. The attachment to wanting to experience something. Just to have more understanding for detachment. Not try to understand this and that more for oneself, unknowingly.
And wishing to experience something else that I could answer truthfully. What is there? Virya. But it is there.
So Panya understands. What it is, as it is there to be known. Just to understand what is there in life from moment to moment by conditions. As now, there are conditions to condition the moment of direct awareness with direct understanding, little by little. Naturally, I'm not done. All dhammas. And sunyata later. Because now, even anatta is not known yet. So how can the moment of falling away be known to be sunyata?
If we read a sutta like the Sunyata Sutta in Majjhima Nikaya, and it is talking about all kinds of attainments, like in the development of samatha and enlightenment, but it's not specifically referring to the falling away of realities. Why is this? Just that it's understood?
The anatta and sunyata.
Sunyata sutta, yes.
To condition moment of directly experience it.
Hmm.
Otherwise knowing.
Right. What is to, you mean the understanding of what it is? Or?
Right now.
Yes, right now. I'm just saying that in the sutta, in suttas that I've read about sunyata, like the Sunyata Sutta, it's talking about all kinds of attainments, but it's not specifically referring to the falling away of conditioned
what
reality.
Degree? What degree?
Depending on the degree.
For now, understood. Everything falls in.
Yes, yes.
Not directly known. Yes.
Right. And like you say, if nothing is known about the hardness now as anatta, how can it possibly be known as falling away as sunyata?
Secretly, gradually, deeply, subtly. What is there now?
And one other question that I just was reminded of, we talk a lot about the asavas and the ogres, and we discussed recently how the ogres, they're the same mental factors, the same kinds of attachment, wrong view and ignorance. But when we talk about the asavas, it's a very subtle kind. But when we talk about the ogres, the floods, it's the stronger degrees. And I read that the asavas and ogres are eradicated at the same time. So, for example, the kamasava and the kamoga is eradicated at the same time, the ditasava and the ditoga eradicated at the same time. Is this correct?
Can we say that at moment of asava, it is flood?
It is a flood already. Okay, so this is correct. Even though the asava refers to the very subtle one, whether it's a subtle or strong one, it's eradicated at the same time.
Moment of flooding. Oh,
I wasn't sure your question a minute ago about the asava and ogres
right.
possibly not being eradicated at the same time.
What I was thinking of was that the stronger degree of attachment to sense objects, for example, would be, well, if not eradicated, but at least reduced before the very, very subtle asava would be eradicated. So, for example, we know that the anagami is the one who has no more clinging to sense objects, but long before that, the strong clinging to sense objects would be history. So only the very fine remnants, the asava, the kamasava, would be remaining. And we know that the ogre we were discussing the other day refers to the stronger degree.
In the case of, say, ditasava and ditoga, one would expect
the strong ditti, the very serious or strong ditti, to have been worn away long before the very subtle ditasava, just before becoming enlightened.
In the case of Angulimala, apparently not.
Right. So that's a good example. Yeah.
And himself was wrong. And walk along.
Yes.
Drank all the way.
Yes. Very, very strong. And the point is that until it's eradicated, it can be
and
weak or strong.
Is there with the person who goes along too?
Mm-hmm. Good example.
Are we now? Asava, Oka, Yoka.
Anything more on reality is false or a lie? Do we understand why any reality, seeing now, hearing now, attachment now, is a false or a lie?
With asava and okra and yosa.
Itself is not, it's with the
vipalasa. It's a lie.
Even the reality itself, we were discussing the other day,
that which is conditioned is a lie or false.
Banya, in this definition, then banya is a lie.
Lie too. Or false.
Right.
Nimittam banyati.
As we've discussed so often, whatever experience is as nimitta, and even just the moment before enlightenment, even the cheetahs just before go travel, when there is a turning away from what is conditioned, it's still sankhara nimitta that is the object at every moment in life. But what about, for example, when panya arises in the sense store, like for those who have highly developed understanding, when panya experiences the visible object in the eye-door process, then it is visible object that is the object.
There is now many moments of seeing.
Mm.
What about more than that, moment of mind or process?
Yes, of course, many
it's
more.
It's hidden. But when it's not hidden, sensa just become very, very short moment.
Short moment, yes.
As it is, but it does not appear now.
Mm. But for example, if we're talking about the Buddhist's understanding or the one with great understanding, then it's still, as we know, it's nimitta, always that is experienced through the mind.
That's why sometimes he teaches about it.
Always nimitta. Yeah. But what about when it is the visible object in the eye-door process that is the object of panya at that moment? Then it is the reality of visible object.
Whose degree of enlightenment?
Yeah, the Buddha's, yes, at that moment.
Even at that very moment.
At that moment when visible object is
experienced. When it's enlightened.
Oh, when it's enlightened, yes.
Unexpectedly.
Yes.
Imagine just one reality at a time in mind or process.
Mm.
What does it mean? Is it as light as now, different things?
But we know that panya can arise in the sense door process, because when we read the Abhidharma details, panya...
Because no doubt of the seeing.
Yes, no doubt at all. Right.
Because panya is there.
Yes, but even in the eye-door process before mind-door can be panya arising.
What is the object?
Visible object then.
So... the understanding of visible object only then.
And at that moment,
later,
it is
later
visible object itself.
Different level of understanding.
Yes.
One object at a time.
But the point is, when we say at every moment, it must be nimitta as the object. But at that one moment, when it is visible object in the idle process, that one moment, it
no,
is.
No, because the Rupa has to follow in, but one got in between. And
for the mind, for sure. Yeah.
And you're sleepy, couldn't you? That's why when we talk about any word, we can find out what is the reality of that. We take for such word. So now we don't need to say what doorway.
No.